action. A disputant must decide, should I bargain with the devil or resist? By bargain, I mean attempt to make a deal, try to resolve the conflict through negotiation, rather than fighting it out. By devil, I mean an enemy who has intentionally harmed you in the past or appears willing to harm you in the future. Someone you don't trust, an adversary whose behavior you may even see as evil. These days, it is not fashionable to talk about evil, particularly among professionals concerned with dispute resolution. It smacks of smug moralism and religious fundamentalism. It has religious overtones connected with notions of sin. Moreover, many dispute resolution professionals would argue that it has no stable definition or inherent meaning. Many believe that the concept is entirely subjective. An individual who is involved in a conflict will often perceive the adversary as evil, but it is only a perception. A detached observer might disagree. Others would add that the notion of what is evil can vary greatly depending on time and place. This is not simply an academic debate about definitions. In my field, an air of taboo hangs around the word evil. It is considered a slippery and explosive term, much overused, loosely deployed, and too often exploited by religious and political leaders to malign their enemies and lead their followers into battle. While I agree that these dangers exist and demonization can get in the way of clear thinking, I do not believe the concept of evil is incoherent or meaningless. In my view, intentionally inflicting grievous harm on human beings without a compelling justification is evil. The Nazis' persecution of the Jews, the Hutus' slaughter of the Tutsi, and the Taliban's penchant for throwing acid in the face of girls who dare to go to school, all of these are evil acts. So were the attacks of September 11, 2001, when suicidal terrorists intentionally and without justification killed nearly 3,000 innocent civilians. My question and this book have their roots in September 11. In the fall of 2001, less than a month after the attacks, Harvard Law School's program on negotiation sponsored a public debate at Harvard on whether President Bush should be prepared to negotiate with the Taliban. This debate led me to begin thinking about a more general question. In any particular conflict, how should you decide whether or not it makes sense to negotiate? At the time of our debate, events were moving quickly. Bush had just issued an ultimatum to the Taliban in Afghanistan. Shut down Al-Qaeda's training camps and turn over Osama bin Laden and his lieutenants, or we will invade. The Taliban, surprisingly, had responded by inviting President Bush to negotiate. In addressing a council of clerics on September 19, the Taliban leader, Mullah Mohammed Omar, said, "If the American government has some problems with the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, they should be resolved through negotiations." My colleague Roger Fisher and I were invited to discuss how Bush should respond to this offer. Roger Fisher is probably the best-known negotiation guru in the world. He is the leading proponent of what is called interest-based or win-win negotiation. His seminal book, Getting to Yes, has sold over 3 million copies. I am his successor as chair of Harvard's program on negotiation. Roger and I share common views on many important issues, but not in this case. Roger took the position, as I knew he would, that President Bush was wrong to issue an ultimatum and that the United States should accept the Taliban's invitation to negotiate. His arguments were consistent with his view, expressed in many of his books, that one should always try to resolve conflict through a problem-solving approach to negotiation based on the interests of the parties. Essentially, Roger supports the categorical notion, prevalent in the field of dispute resolution, that you should always be willing to negotiate. The core argument behind this notion is straightforward and appealing. Before you resort to coercive measures, such as warfare or litigation, you should try to resolve the problem. To negotiate doesn't mean you must give up all that is important to you. It only requires that you be willing to sit down with your adversary and see whether you can make a deal that serves your interests better than your best alternative does. People and regimes are capable